You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of a Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
I will call it a hand clap for the text and the topic. It's very important for us to notice that the Apostle Paul, who is the author of our text, notice that he refers to God in our verse as my God. Two simple words, but very notable. My God. When the Apostle Paul says my God, it indicates to us that Paul had a personal relationship with the Lord. And likewise, as young people, especially young faith walkers, we too should have a personal, daily, and sincere relationship with the Lord. We should have a personal, daily, and sincere relationship with the Lord. While you're in your teens, while you're in your 20s, help me out. We should have a personal. We should have a daily, and we should have a sincere relationship with the Lord. This is so important. I need to know if you can say it without my help. Say, I should have a, start it, personal, daily, and sincere relationship with the Lord. Many of us, we have personal, daily, and sincere relationships with various people, whether it be a parent, a spouse, a friend. But the one relationship that should be above all is our relationship with our God. It's got to be personal, young people. You can only live off what your parents know for so long. It's got to be daily. We don't want to be religious and just come to church when we're supposed to do the duties in God's house, but we leave him in his house. We need to walk with him every single day. And it needs to be sincere. We need to love him, the Bible says, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. If you would agree, shout, I agree. Now, this is basic, but I need to help someone that may not know. How do you have a personal, daily, and sincere relationship? It's a number of ways, but the Holy Spirit dealt with me and gave me three keys I want to share before I move on. Y'all ready? First, we got to worship him only. I got to be devoted to my God only. I don't need to be the type of worshiper that has numerous gods. I worship Jesus, but I also will worship other gods. Now, when it comes to true worship, it needs to be in spirit and in truth. Young people, we need to worship him only. Jesus told Satan himself, you shall worship and serve the Lord your God only. When you look at Daniel in Daniel 3, you see the big ordeal on the table, or the big issue was that the king wanted those young people to serve their God and his God. But the Hebrew boys, whom we call, they were like, no, we're not going to bow down. We only serve one God. You got to make sure, young people, that you have that same testimony. If I'm going to dance, I'm not going to dance to what's popular in the world. I'm only going to dance to what glorifies my God. I'm only going to worship the one and true living God, the way the Bible has prescribed for me to worship him. Number two, if I have a personal, daily, and sincere relationship with the Lord, young people, I'm going to remain conscious of him. I'm going to remain conscious of my God in all that I do. I'm going to remain conscious of him in what, even when I go through things in life. I don't want to lose my attachment to my God. I got to make sure I'm thinking God. When I get to going through things and negative thoughts, worldly thoughts come to my mind, I got to make sure I cast those things down and keep my mind stayed on him. Because I don't want anything to separate me from the love of God. When my flesh rises up and I have different feelings for people, when I want to satisfy my own fleshly desires, I'm so conscious of him that I put my flesh under subjection. I got to make sure that I understand if I'm going to follow him only, I got to deny myself. I got to carry my cross every single day. And understand something, young folk, there are going to be days in your life to where you're not going to feel like doing what the Lord wants you to do. But when you have a personal relationship, a sincere relationship, a daily relationship, you'll learn to put that flesh under subjection and say, no, I'm going to follow my God and not follow my flesh. How many are understanding thus far? It's just like what Jesus taught in the book of John, as you notice my notes, in John 15 and 5. He talked about how he is the true vine, and we are the branches. We got to stay connected to our God. I got to make sure I'm thinking God. I got to make sure I'm talking God. I got to make sure I'm choosing based upon the word of God, because I got a sincere relationship with him. Even when I mess up, even when I fall short, even when I deliberately sin, I got to make sure I'm quick to repent or turn. And how many know you may not be quick to admit that, but how many sometimes you just know you choose to sin? You choose to do what's wrong. Look at how y'all looking now. Yeah, not saying that you practice sin, but sometimes we choose sin when we should not. And in moments like that, you got to come to yourself and just repent. And say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have touched that. I shouldn't have did that. I know your Holy Spirit, and I quenched him. Lord, have mercy on me. I got to remain conscious of him. We always say the best and the safest place to be is in the will of God. But let me tell you, one of the worst places to be is out of the will of God. I don't want to be anywhere where I do not recognize that God done left me. God has turned his face away from me. I do not ever want to be in that position. What about you? So I want to remain conscious of him, conscious of his will for my life. And finally, if I'm going to have a personal, daily, and sincere relationship, it says that I allow my God to guide me. How does he guide us? By his spirit. According to John, 16 and 13, he gave us the Holy Spirit, young people, to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you concerning your career, guide you concerning your health, guide you concerning your money, guide you on how to save your money, guide you on how to get more money, guide you on this, that, and the other. He will guide us into all truth. That's why being saved, young folk, is not enough. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in another tongue or heavenly language, but then you need to allow him to guide you into all truth. Well, how will he guide me, Pastor? If you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he will direct your path. And see, that verse never goes out of style. He will guide you no matter what you put on the table. He'll tell you yes. He'll tell you no. Sometimes he won't say nothing. And if he don't say nothing, you don't do nothing. You wait till the Holy Spirit guides you. And see, sometimes, young people, you can have pressure on you to just do what you got to do. But when you have a sincere relationship, when you have a daily and a personal relationship, you will mature to the point to where you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And then you'll be to the point to where whatever goes down, you can say with confidence, well, Lord, you told me to do this. You see what's going on. How do you want me to handle this? And see, whatever the Lord or whatever the Lord guides you and I to do in life, it's going to cause us to prosper. How can I say that? Because Jesus came that we might have life and have it what? More abundantly. Now, before prosperity manifests in totality, you may get guided to go through some trials. You may go through some hardships. You may go through some setbacks. But you got to remember, if I just keep following him, this thing is going to work out together for my good. So when you consider these three keys, how many know it's possible to have a personal, daily, and a sincere relationship with God? And see, what I love about the teaching is that we can look in the audience and the teaching bears witness. You can look in the audience and see that there are young adults and young people at the MSW that have a personal, daily, and a sincere relationship. It's not saying that they're perfect, but you can look around. You can look around in this church and you can see some young men and young women that have been practicing what is being taught this morning. And if you've been falling short, go ahead and get yourself together and start putting this word into action. And so in his personal relationship, especially when you study the life of Paul, we see that he has learned, considering our verse, an important quality about God. When you read Philippians 4:19, we see that Paul learned that God cannot lie. How do we know this? Because he says, and my God shall. Shall is a word that suggests, young people, a promise of God. And see, when it comes to the promises of God, God is not slack. He's not slack concerning his promises. He told one church, as you can see here in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. In other words, Paul had learned that his God could not lie. He can't do it. He cannot lie. And see, as you mature, sometimes it seems like God has lied. I'm just going to be honest. When you look at certain things that go on in your life, sometimes it seems as if God has lied. But he ain't lying. And I want to prove it to you. Y'all ought to help me and say, God cannot lie. And he needs to reiterate this to someone listening on today. You need to know God cannot lie. He can't do it. Let's look at two quick verses. Let's go to Numbers. I'm still dealing with the verse, right? He said, and my God shall. In other words, my God can't lie. He can't lie. And it's important for young people, young adults, to have in their spirit, my God can't lie. Let's look at Numbers 23. And notice, if you will, verse number 19. And this is one truth or one reason why God can't lie. Notice what the text says in Numbers 23 and 19. I love this verse. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not, look at this, make it good? But God, what I want you to see in this verse, one reason he can't lie is because he ain't like man. As good as you look, as productive as you are, wonderful as you are, you done lied since you've been saved, since you've been speaking in another tongue. Oh, yeah, everybody in here done told a lie before they got saved. Watch this. And after. Let's take a quick poll. Who in here done lied before they got saved? Who in here done lied since they done got saved? Everybody in here. And if your hand ain't up, guess what you just did? You lied. Straight up lied. But see, God is not like man. God does not have a sin nature like man. We were all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And so before we got saved, our father was the father of lies, the devil. And so guess what we did? We lied. Some of y'all didn't even want to finish the verse. Guess what we did? We lie, but God, again, is not like man. If he says a thing, he gonna do it. And if he said something a while back and your situation done got worse, he asked a question, will he not make it good? We got to always remember what God said he meant. And when he said it, he meant it. Nothing can change it. If God said it, he cannot lie. If he said better is here and bigger is coming, he cannot lie. All we got to do is just stand on it. If he said by his stripes you were healed, all you got to do is just stand on it. If he said give and I'll cause men to give into your bosom, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, all we got to do is just stand. He ain't like your preacher. He ain't like your mama. He ain't like your daddy, because he cannot lie. He cannot lie. That's why it's important, young people, that we stand on the written and the revealed word of God. He cannot lie. God said hell is real in his word. He can't what? He can't lie. I don't care how many people try to debunk it, try to make a video and say it ain't real. No, let every man be a lie, but let God be true. Are y'all with me? Let's go to another verse. I thought y'all would get excited. Man, this word got me excited and stirred. He can't lie. He ain't like me. He ain't gonna take it back. If he said a thing, he meant what he said. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews is in the New Testament. Chapter 6 and verse 18. Again, Paul knew that his God could not lie. We need to know that our God cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is, look at this, impossible for God to what? Lie. Let's stop right there. It's impossible. God can't do it. He's truth. He can't lie. It is impossible for the God that we serve to lie. If he told me, and he did, Baker, you better make sure you don't practice sin because the wages of sin is death. Even though I may have enjoyed sin, if I would have continued therein, I would have reaped death. Why? It is impossible for him to lie. If he told you to honor your mother and father that it may be well with you, he can't lie. There are some young people, young adults, life is jacked up because they are so disrespectful to mother or father. He can't lie. It's impossible. And so when we consider that God cannot lie, young people, look at what Paul declared in Philippians that we need to learn. That my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't make a promise that he can't keep. It's impossible for him to lie. He's going to supply. Whatever things you are lacking in your life, he will supply. Whatever things, natural things, monetary things. See, some people just want to say spiritual things, but whatever things you are lacking, the God that we serve is able to supply. What seems impossible for you to supply is possible with God. What's impossible with man is possible with God if you can believe it. And see, the Lord knows that there are people at the MSW that have needs. And have been wondering, how is this need going to be met? Now, this is where I used to mess up. I used to try to play God and try to figure out how he was going to meet the need. But that's not our duty. It's his duty to meet the need. It's my duty to stay in his will. Have you ever tried to figure out how God was going to do what he said? Man, you can think about it all day long and you can never come up with the solution. God is too vast. He's infinite. He is just too big for us to try to figure him out. We just need to have faith in God. We just need to believe that, Lord, you said that you would supply the need. I'm going to stand on it. Whatever you are lacking as a child of God, the God we serve is able to meet that need. Well, Lord, they said I couldn't have time off, but I need time off. Lord, I need time off. They said I can't get the time off until the probationary period is over. But, Lord, I need this time off. Guess who can meet that need? Your God. Well, Lord, I need another vehicle. I got a vehicle, but I need a better vehicle. I don't have the means to get the vehicle. Lord, I need you to supply what's lacking. Oh, Lord, I thought y'all were getting happy because, see, God always sends a word before he does what he has promised. So he knows that you're lacking in some areas. The sign for you this morning is get ready for the Lord to supply the need. I'm walking by faith. I'm thinking, talking. I'm doing according to your word. You think God gonna withhold any good thing for those who walk uprightly? No, he ain't gonna withhold it. Now, before we get what God promised, we got to do the will of God. Yeah, we got to go through what God has prescribed for us to go through. Then, after we have done the will of God, we will receive the promise. But I want you to have in your mind, in your spirit, God sees my need and he's going to meet the need. You don't have to scheme. You don't have to rob. You don't have to hold back his tithe and offering. You don't need to doubt. God is able to supply your need. And I love how he said, not just one particular need, but how many of your needs? Oh, how many got multiple needs? Got multiple needs. I had this one person recently asked me, they said, look, you looking for Biden to cancel that student loan debt? You know, Biden's supposed to be canceling student loan debt. And I done looked across the table and I told this person in their face, the Lord done already paid my student loan. And the person just said, oh. And somebody beside me said, well, the Lord ain't paid my student loan debt yet. But see, I done learned he will supply your need. He'll supply the need, whatever's lacking. Young folk, listen, I used to put pressure on myself to try to supply all my needs. And I just wasn't able. I had to learn, young people, that we serve a God who is rich and he has exactly what I need. And he has exactly what you need. The question is, can you trust him? Can you believe this verse right here that God will supply your need? How does he do it? Can we break the verse down? He will supply our need according, look at this, to his what? Riches in what? Glory. His riches and glory have to do with his abundance. His abundant treasure. And his abundant treasure is here on earth, according to the scripture. It's here on earth. God got treasure here on earth. On earth. It could be lost on earth, but he know about it. Somebody else could have it, but he know about it. Or he could tell you how to go about getting it. But he has treasure here on earth. He got riches. Isaiah 6 and 3 talks about how his glory fills the earth. His abundance fills the earth. I had this preacher, y'all got to listen to this, before I go to the scripture, shared this testimony with me that blessed me so much. There was this man who was a giver, and he was driving an old beat up truck, and he needed a new truck. But he did not have the means or the money to get the truck on his own. And so one day, the man that needed a truck and had put it before the Lord was driving down the street. And this is according to the testimony they told me. And he said the Holy Spirit told him to pull over and pop the hood of his truck. And so the man was driving in the middle of nowhere. He said, Lord, pull over and pop the hood of the truck. He said, yeah, pull over now, pop the hood of the truck. So the man pulled over and did what? Popped the hood of the truck, and the Holy Spirit told him to look by the carburetor. Look by the carburetor. He looked by the carburetor, didn't see nothing, got back in the truck, dropped the hood, and got on moving. The Holy Spirit told the man, look, pull over, pop the hood, and look down by the carburetor. He pulled over, popped the hood of the truck, got under the hood, and looked by the carburetor and said, "Lord, I don't see nothing. I don't see nothing. I don't see what you're telling me." He said, "Look with your hands." How many know sometimes you can't see it, but you can feel it? So he told the man, "Feel down by the carburetor." And he said, "I feel something." He pulled out a wad of money that was covered in oil. He took the oil, cleaned the money off, and it was a roll of $100 bills. What had happened was, whoever owned the truck before the man owned the truck had hid his money down by the carburetor. The man cleaned the money off and had enough money to go buy him a new truck. But let's go to, somebody said they're going to go check their carburetor. But let's look in the Bible. Lord, do you do such? Let's look in the Bible. Peter needed his taxes paid. The Lord needed his taxes paid. And this is what get me. The Lord told Peter, look, go fishing, and the first fish you pull out, the first fish. That let me know that God is sovereign. He knows everything. The first fish you pull out, open its mouth, and it will be enough money to pay my taxes and your taxes. God know everything. God know everything. God know where everything is. I was watching this program. How many know God will speak to you sometime while you're watching TV? I was watching this program about this man who was apprehended by the FBI. Yeah, he was apprehended, detained, locked up. But upon him being locked up, young people, he had accumulated $40 billion. Any illegal activity. Now, this is what get me. Most of the money that he accumulated is still unaccounted for. This man and this other man have been known for burying money in the ground, in caves, in various places, and the government still can't find this man's money. But guess whose eyes are in every place? The Bible says his eyes are in what? Every place, beholding the good and the evil. God got riches, abundance in this earth. So much so, young people, listen, that he can cause men to give into your bosom. He can deal with a person to bless you. Deal with a person to open a door for you. Deal with a person and you experience, I don't know why I'm doing this. And then they do certain things. Give you such a discount to where you got to get it. You didn't plan on getting it, but God dealt with their heart so it can happen in your favor. I'm trying to get y'all to understand that God has riches in glory here on earth for his people. That's the God you and I serve. Well, how do I get it, Pastor? How do I access it? It's by Christ Jesus. Through, young people, his anointed word. God will send the word and tell his people how needs will be met. Whether he tell you in prayer personally, whether he used the preacher or whether he used someone else. But he'll send the word, young people. And when you have, again, a personal, sincere, and a daily relationship with God, when you hear his voice, you're going to put that word into action. That's why it's so important, young people, to be conscious of God, to have a prayer life. Because God can use somebody to tell you how a need or a desire is going to get met. Are y'all listening to me? It's just like I was so happy this morning. I told y'all a few minutes ago, the Lord spoke to me through Minister Sarita when she received this offering. Some things she said that I had been talking to God about personally. And when she got up here and let God use her, I said, okay, God, there's your anointed word for me. I know exactly what I need to know now. And see, young people, you have to have the same consciousness of God. Where I have messed up so many times in times past, young people, listen, is that I would focus on my need more so than the promise of God. I would focus so much on it ain't happened. He ain't did. No. Just get your mind off of that and just stay conscious of what God is saying, what God has said, what God has led you to read in his written word. Why is this important, young people? Because those who are led by God, they are the sons of God. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, then you will receive your inheritance. You will receive, in other words, your needs being met. All I have to do is just receive the word, that anointed word, and he's going to tell me how my need is going to be met. Whether it be a pair of shoes you want, whether it be a bill that needs to be paid, whether it's this, that, or the other, he'll guide us into all what? All truth. Are y'all getting this? In my clothes, you got a reading assignment. I want to talk about it now, but it goes along with our God supplying needs. 2 Kings 17 is what I'm going to conclude with. 1 Kings 17, 1 through 16. I'm not going to read it, but I want you to read those 16 verses sometime this week. And you will learn about a prophet by the name of Elijah. The Lord told Elijah for a span of years there would be no rain. So if there's no rain, young people, that means vegetation, fruit, is not going to grow. Right? No crops, right? But in the midst of a famine, God still supplied Elijah's need. And so what the Lord first did is he sent a word to Elijah and he told him, look, I want you to go down to this particular brook in Cherith. Are y'all listening? And there, listen to what the text is saying. And there the Lord commanded the ravens to bring him bread by day, meat and bread in the evening and in the morning. And while you're at the brook, that's where you're going to get your water from. I want you to drink from this brook, and I've sent a word, and ravens are going to bring you meat and bread in the morning and in the evening. How did God meet Elijah's need? He first sent him a word. So what did Elijah have to do? He just needed to go down to the place that what? God told him to go. Am I losing y'all? So he went down there, young people. He did what God told him to do. And who showed up in the morning time? And what did the ravens bring him? Meat and bread. Evening time came. Who showed up? The ravens. And what did the ravens have? And when he got thirsty, what did he do? He went to the brook and would drink. But this is what happened. The brook dried up. Remember, no rain. So the supply only lasted there for a season. So guess what the Lord did? He sent another what? another word. I want you to go down now to Zarephath. And he says in the text, he says, there I done commanded a widow woman. She gonna sustain you. So first he commanded the brook to give them drink and the ravens to give them bread and meat. That season dried up. Then the Lord sent another word and said, go over here. And now I'm gonna get this woman. She gonna supply your need. Went down there and he had to preach to her because she was thinking she was going to die. Guess what Elijah gave her? A word. Don't fear. Give. God blessed her house. Are y'all getting the equation? God will send a word and tell you how your need is going to be what? Met. She obeyed the word. Her house prospered and he prospered. You'll find that out. And what I want you to understand is that God does not change. You don't take a job unless God tell you to take a job. You don't leave a job unless God tell you to leave a job. It always needs to be about what God is telling you to do. When God tell you to give, you better get in a hurry and do what? Give. And you don't stop giving the way he told you to give until what you're desiring manifests. And then when it manifests, if you want that flow to keep coming, guess what you do? You keep giving. You do just what Minister Sarita said in the offering. You keep scattering seed. Because see, once I get that flow coming, how many know we don't want the flow to stop? Yeah. So once you realize God got you giving at a certain level, you stay on that level and increase. You get on that level, you stay on that level, and then you what? You increase. Because we don't want the flow to stop. We want God to continue to meet our need. Now, in my close, I got a few minutes left. The thing that I want us to understand and what's contextual about this verse and why God supplied their need was because they did what I just said. These were some giving folk. This Philippian church was able to receive that God would supply all of their need because they were givers. When no other church would give to Paul when he was in need and locked up in prison, the Philippian church sent exceptional gifts to Paul. And see, we can say that God will supply all of our need if we are givers as well. How many young people can truly say, I bring God his tithe and I bring God his offering? Well, because God has not changed, even though your needs change, God doesn't change. I better say that again. Even though your needs change, God does not change. How many know as you grow and get older, your needs increase in value? When you leave mama and daddy house, you'll find out that your needs increase in value. Mullen said, yes, Lord. Somebody said they increase while I'm there. But you know what? The needs change, young people. But God stays the same. You don't need graduation dues now. You don't need, that ain't your need. But you got some other needs you can put on the table. Yeah. You don't need band money to go on no field trip. That was a need you had years ago. You don't need money to go to no basketball camp. That was a need you had what? Years ago. But you got some needs now. And what we don't want to happen, as I close, young people, is for you to start looking to your job to meet all your needs. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Now, can God bless us through a job? Yeah. That could be one of the places that he uses. But that's not the only place. And we don't want you young people to get hooked on, man, I got a good paying job. Let me tell you something. The way folks are now, these folks that own these companies, they are only concerned about profits. If they're not making money selling their goods and services, they're going to find a way to turn a profit. And if they have to cut employees, they'll do it and give you a pen or nothing on the way out the door. That's why it's important, young people, to understand we serve a God that will supply our needs. He'll supply our needs, whether you got a college degree or not, whether you have your own business or not. Y'all ought to help me say, my God will supply my need. But you got to be a giver like these folks, right? And remember, if you give much, you're going to receive what? Much. But if you give little, you're going to receive what? Look, you got to keep that in mind. Boy, these folk, when you read Philippians 4, they put it on Paul. They gave him a real good blessing. And so he said, you know what? I know my God, he's going to supply your need because you are abundant givers. How many understand that we serve the God that supplies? He cannot lie. I don't care what you're up against, what you're going through. If you're in the will of God, he's going to supply that need. Y'all got it? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for Philippians 4 and 19. Come on, MSW, let's put our hands together a little bit harder.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.